This is Y Nada Más. A Real Madrid Podcast.
Everybody, what is going on? This is Eric Rivera, and this is the Y Nada Más podcast. I am back. It has been quite some time since we actually did a show, I'm back. The season has started today, actually, when I'm recording this. We just had a victory in the Champions League. The Champions League officially kicked off today. We're all excited because the team has gone so far in this season, the team is undefeated. Essentially, they have not lost any of their games either in the league or in the Champions League. So let's, hopefully not jinx that by, saying that on the podcast, but hopefully they continue doing it. And they've done it in a very Real Madrid way. Making us suffer a little bit, looking sometimes a little shaky, but then coming up in a big way and showing us what they're capable of. That has been the story. Of course, there has been all sorts of things since I've been gone. The crazy close to the transfer window, Barcelona doing its things, a lot of big name players going to the Premier League, obviously Casemiro left. So a lot of things that I, want to talk about, a lot of things that I might rehash on a little bit, but obviously I'm going to try to keep this pretty quick and up to date and move into where we are now. So once again, I am your host, Eric Rivera, and this is the Y Nada Más podcast. Like I said, it's been a while since we actually did a podcast because I was away. I was actually away for work. I was in Europe and I was trying to do the podcast and try to record some content while I was over there, but it was absolutely impossible to do so. Because some of what my job does is I'm on a ship a lot of the times, working for a cruise line. And so what happens is you don't always get the most reliable service, especially for large video files or audio files to upload. So wasn't that easy to get it done. I also had tons of other things that I needed to shoot for work. So that's where I was, So if you've been a longtime listener, that's kind of where I was. If you're new, awesome to have you back. This is actually the second or third season that I've done this podcast. And I always try to keep it pretty regular on the weekends, but I'll fall off every now and then because of my job and then the job of the people that are with me on the team. So we don't do this, obviously, just to let you guys know we do this. I'm a huge fan of Real Madrid. I don't do this professionally. I've been in radio and things like that professionally, but this is not what I do professionally. This is not my regular job. I do this for the love, and I hope you guys enjoy it. This is a fan podcast. I'm not a talking head. I am not an analyst. I just have been a longtime fan of Real Madrid since 1996. So that is what this is about. So I'm back, essentially. Like I said, I was in Europe. I got a chance. I was actually in Helsinki, I think 2 days, unfortunately, before Real Madrid played Eintracht Frankfurt for the UEFA Super Cup. So I missed that by just 2 days. I was also in Istanbul, which was going to be where the final of this year's Champions League or this season's Champions League is going to take place. So I missed that by a couple of months. So I was really hitting all some really cool spots. Unfortunately, I couldn't hit Spain. I couldn't go to, see Madrid. And that is still on my list of things to do. Coming up, I might, be in Italy, might catch a game when I'm out there, a Serie A game, as I also am a fan of Serie A, if you've listened to the podcast. And I think Serie A might be one of the more exciting leagues this season, as there really is a lot of teams that can fight for that title. I believe right now Atalanta, as of the recording of this podcast, might be in first place, I think it is, followed by, I think, maybe Roma or Napoli. I mean, there's a lot of teams that are fighting over there. So Really interesting to see how that's going to go. So if you are a first-time listener, you're listening on the podcast. This is the audio version of the podcast. There is also a video version of the podcast. And if you are watching the video version of the podcast, vice versa, there is an audio version of the podcast. Check us out on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever podcasts are found, you can check us out there. And if you are listening, if you are watching, we are, you know, if you're listening and you haven't want to watch the video version, we're on YouTube at E Nada Mas. I think it's at E Nada Mas. I mean, youtube.com/E Nada Mas podcast is what I think it is. So that's where we're available there. On the ticker here, you can see on social media, available on YNM Podcast on Instagram, at E Nada Mas Podcast on Facebook, at E Nada Mas Podcast on Twitter, which is where I am most active. Just trying to get through all that social media stuff because I really want to jump into really what's been going on since I've been gone, you know, and I kind of want to touch on it. You know, we had Casemiro leave, which was very sad for me. Love Casemiro. It definitely spells out sort of the death knell of, I would say, the CMK era of Casemiro, Modric, and Kroos. Obviously, Modric is showing us some spectacular, still continues to be in spectacular form. I mean, that guy just doesn't age. Today, he looked phenomenal. He looked great, I thought, against, who is it that we played today? Oh my God. Against Celtic, I'm sorry. He looked great against Celtic. Because I'm thinking about all the other games, but then he looked phenomenal, scored a banger against Celta Vigo. You know, he's been just a phenomenal player, and it's really going to be sad. I think that will be the player I will shed a tear for when he leaves. You know, I was sad when Casemiro left. I'm sad when Marcelo left. I was obviously sad when Cristiano left. But the two guys that are really going to make my heart break my heart when they leave are definitely Luka Modric. You know, if you're a follower of this podcast, you know, I named my son Lucas after Luka Modric. And I would have named him Luka if my wife didn't step in and say that she didn't want to name him Luka and wanted the Hispanic version, which is Lucas. So it would have been Luka. But anyway, that is the reason. And, you know, and I've been a longtime fan of him, and he's just proving everyone right that has been longtime fans of his is he's just not aging. He's aging like a fine wine, aging very well, and continues to look absolutely phenomenal. So, but losing Casemiro, I think was kind of that precursor to, obviously, it's funny because he's the youngest out of the three. You know, we consider Toni Kroos and Luka Modric and Casemiro. Casemiro is actually the youngest out of the three. And he's the one who left first. So that's the really interesting part there. But Casemiro, I think, you know, obviously a lot of things have been said. I think he really was probably a good deal for Real Madrid to, you know, sell him for, what was it, 80 million when they were the likelihood of getting a deal like that later on with Casemiro was probably not going to happen. In addition, the pay that he was going to get at Manchester United was something that I don't think a lot of players would turn down, especially knowing that they were slowly being phased out with the arrival of Tchouaméni. And at first, I think a lot of people were worried about how it was going to play out if, you know, really Tchouaméni was going to be the guy to substitute Casemiro. And if anything, he has shut down those doubts immediately, absolutely immediately. He has been an insane acquisition since we got him, but it took him a couple of games, and he didn't even look bad in any of those games. It just took him a couple of games to sort of get into his own rhythm, and now he's just absolutely phenomenal. I mean, he's the other day against Real Betis, and the game against Real Betis just this past weekend, I think he had something like 6 out of 6 aerial duels won. And then I think out of the 13 ground duels he had, he won 10. And it was in the first half that he got 10 out of 10, which is insane. You know, he's been a wall in the midfield. Camavinga as well, I think, has been, you know, he's just a burst of passion and drive. And I think both of them are so elegant on the ball And Tchouaméni brings something that Casemiro unfortunately didn't have. Casemiro was a wall. Casemiro was a gritty player, you know, recuperating the ball, intercepting balls, you know, recovering. But there was always that thing that the there was always that I think sometimes the complaint, I'd complained about it sometimes, where, you know, Casemiro, when he got overexcited or he was really excited, or he was in the, you know, the throes of the excitement of the game, you know, you would see misplaced passes. You'd see a lot of errant, you know, just kind of crazy losses of the ball. He'd go for shots that were, you know, really, really low percentage shots. If we were going, you know, if we're going into that idea of stats, you know, so there were a lot of things that he did that obviously weren't the best. But he was an absolute ball winner. He had an attitude like no other. And he was, of course, a huge part of this team in that he had won, you know, carried this midfield for so long. Not carried as in the sense of carrying Luka Modric and Kroos, but when it comes to that defensive midfielder position, he really did carry that position because there was nobody else that we had to you know, come in and step in for that position. Now, the funny thing is, I think at the first time I remember hearing about Casemiro leaving, the one thing that worried me is, you know, what's going to happen? You know, essentially, we brought in this guy, Tchouaméni, to deputize Casemiro, or at least that's what we thought was going to happen, and that didn't happen, right? Or now we're selling Casemiro, and so now you kind of have a similar situation where you have Tchouaméni, really the only one that is a, I would say, an out-and-out defensive midfielder. But Tchouaméni brings so many other things to the table that we've seen. I mean, his passing is on point. Obviously, his ball recovery. He's a young kid. He's strong. You know, he bullies guys off the ball from what I've seen so far of him. And then not only that, it's the ball progression that he has. When he keeps the ball, he controls the ball. He's good in possession. He can take the ball forward and then distribute it, and even almost become part of you know, in going to the final third and even become almost like a playmaker. He showed that to us in that game against what was it? Was it Celta Vigo? Where, you know, or was it no Espanol? Sorry, where he does a beautiful 1-2 with Valverde and ends up setting up the through pass to Vinicius to score. So obviously, he's been, you know, he's worth his weight. He's worth what we paid for him. If anything, I think as time goes by, people are already saying this, he might have ended up cheaper than we expected it to be. And it might have been a way better deal than people thought it was going to be. So obviously the other situation that a lot of people are talking about is this issue with the number nine. And I agree with everyone. I mean, I agree with everyone that we don't have a quality backup number nine. You know, we have issues in the right wing, essentially playing Valverde as a right winger when that's not really his position, essentially playing, you know, hoping that Rodrigo or Hazard, Eden Hazard, are going to be the backup to the number nine position, which is crazy. Mariano didn't leave. Asensio didn't leave. All these things that happened, you know, there was a lot of things on the market. Players were offered. And in the end, I think, so here's my thoughts on that before I jump into this Champions League game and talk about, you know, kind of what happened and how that plays into, I guess, the transfer strategy. You know, once again, I always feel like Madridistas are sort of this self-hating group. We tend to do that a lot. We tend to lose our minds. And especially, I think part of it was to losing our minds in the transfer market and the fact that Real Madrid didn't sign anybody in the transfer market, and that really in the end, Rudiger and Tchouaméni became our only signings. The interesting thing is to me, you know, this is a team that at the end of the day won the Champions League. You know, this is a team that at the end of the day won the UEFA Super Cup. They won the La Liga. You know, they've done everything, pretty much everything that's asked of them, except for the Copa del Rey, which obviously I hope this year we can win it because it's something that is, you know, we always run into just bad luck in that cup. And I would really like to see us lift it up. But this is the same team that won the Champions League. Now, obviously, the way we won it isn't something that I think nobody – I think the one thing about that Champions League from last season is something that is going to be impossible for anyone to duplicate. You know, think about it as, you know, the three-peat of the Champions League. To me, and I think I've said this in a podcast, last season's Champions League win was so insanely chaotic. And last minute winners and come from behind victories, consistent come from behind victories. It really is a shot. It really was lightning in a bottle. It was essentially something that I don't think any other team is going to be able to repeat. And leave it to Real Madrid, a team that obviously has so much history, to be almost the perpetual underdog during the entire season last season. Even though obviously they're a team with such big history, but nobody expected that team to win and do anything. And, you know, they won it by the skin of their teeth. So, yes, I understand the people that are saying, you know, we won the Champions League with this team. We did all these things with them. They won a lot. But let's be real. It wasn't the easiest way of winning, and it wasn't the most convincing way of winning. We still won it, though. We still wanted a win is a win, you know. To quote Don Toretto from Fast and the Furious, you know, it doesn't matter whether you win by an inch or a mile, winning is winning. It doesn't matter whether it's one goal or it happens in the last second or you had less possession, you know, as much as Xavi and all these, you know, Barcelona sycophants want to talk about playing beautiful football and whatnot. It doesn't matter. Possession doesn't matter. Stats at the end of the day don't really matter. Like all the stats, they fly out the window when you really want to talk about who ends up winning the game at the end. The only stat that matters is the scoreline. And Real Madrid ended up on the positive end of the scoreline whenever it needed to, right? So that is essentially what happened in this Champions League. And we ended up taking it home. So, yes, I understand that it wasn't the best way to win. So I understand people saying, you know, you got to make a team better, especially given how we won that Champions League. There's got to be improvements made to the squad. Obviously, you got all this money coming in. You saved money from the Mbappe saga. You know, let's see what we can do with this. And then it seems like there were different offers, you know, different people were thrown at. I mean, I for one, liked the idea of somebody like Raul de Tomas. I liked the idea of maybe a Minguri. I liked the idea of maybe a Serge Gnabry. You know, I even liked the idea of possibly somebody like an Edinson Cavani or Edin Dzeko, like guys that were sort of on their way out. I definitely think players that you know, like those players I mentioned, those guys that were sort of, you know, kind of they're up there in age, they're kind of on their way out, but they still have opportunities to give. Those guys wouldn't mind sitting on the bench and occasionally coming in to deputize somebody like Benzema. And I think that's something that, you know, needed to be taken into consideration, because if not, I don't think you were going to get a young gun that's kind of looking for minutes is going to sit there and be like, I know I'm going to be second fiddle to Benzema. And obviously with Benzema being, you know, in the running, or at least, you know, a shoe in essentially for the Ballon d'Or, and, you know, one of the best strikers on the planet right now is going to just, you know, they know that they're going to be sitting on the bench. So I think it was a very hard part negotiating there for that. And so you have to take a look at that. I don't know if a lot of players were going to do that as, you know, or go for that deal, even with Madrid's, you know, pedigree, you know. So I understand why it kind of didn't happen, but I also feel like there were other players, like let's say Raul de Tomas and all these other guys, and some of the older guys that probably would have gone for it. And so all this talk about it not being, they didn't want to repeat a Jovic situation, they didn't want to repeat a Mariano situation. I don't know. It doesn't completely sit well with me, because at the end of the day, you need somebody there that can step in. And so, fine, don't get these guys, but get somebody else that can possibly step in. Get somebody else that can possibly at least deputize and come off the bench and do it. And that's kind of what we did not see, even considered, you know. And it's something that we desperately need, especially considering that if we speak about today's game, of Real Madrid versus Celtic. Now we're all worried about what's going to happen with Benzema. Now, as of 9:54 p.m. Eastern time here in the United States, the last thing I heard on El Chiringuito was essentially that it doesn't look like it's going to be a big deal. It doesn't look like it's a big issue or a bad injury. So who knows? But I'm probably sure that, they better bench him against Mallorca, considering Mallorca is not playing well. And, and considering Eden Hazard, and, which I think was one of the best things that happened today, was Eden Hazard getting the goal, playing the way he did. And let's be real, I think, as Celtic was not an easy team, considering that they're number one, obviously, in the Scottish Premiership. They are a difficult place to go to because they are so fervent. They have such a fervent fan base that is going to make any venue uncomfortable, and they showed that they were, and the team was an uncomfortable team at the beginning in the first half. That first half looked more like a Celtic first half dominating than Real Madrid. Real Madrid, we didn't see them really playing the football that we saw them so beautifully play, so calmly play, and so dominantly play against Real Betis, which I think Real Betis, if anything, is probably right now, aside from Barcelona, is the team that has looked the best so far in La Liga to me. And that was the hardest game that I think we were going to face, at least at this stage in the competition, in La Liga at least. And we looked like we were bulldozing them when they couldn't get out of their, they couldn't put really anything together. And the only goal they scored was, I really think, was a defensive lapse and a time where, maybe one of the first times that we've seen Courtois not come up with an amazing save come up with something, to save us in the last second. But besides that goal, the rest of the game was ultimately Real Madrid's game. It was a dominant display. Celtic, on the other hand, it wasn't a dominant display until the second half, where it really seemed like they started to lose steam. I think that's natural for some of these teams, especially a team like Celtic that hasn't been in the Champions League. I think it's been over 5 years since they've been in the Champions League. They were going to come out guns blazing against Real Madrid. They're in Glasgow. They're going to, they're pushing themselves to the limit. They want to surprise the European champions, so they came out guns blazing. They looked solid in the first half, but that is ultimately going, if you don't strike while the iron is hot, essentially, right? What's going to end up happening is what happened, which it seems like as they started to lose steam in the second half, Real Madrid really started to, their calmness, their experience comes in. We've weathered the storm. We've weathered these young guys coming at us, and now it's time for us to step on the gas. And that's exactly what they did. Vinicius, Valverde with that crazy, beautiful ground pass all the way across the box, essentially from the right side of the field to the left side of the field, finds Vinicius. Vinicius just basically has to tap it into the bottom right-hand side of the net. And that's exactly what he did. And then, Modric obviously doing his thing, jukes two players in the box, ends up, scoring. And then, of course, Eden Hazard, with an amazing play as well, ends up getting his third goal, which he was actually the one who assisted, made a great run into the box and assisted Modric, put Modric into the position to score. So assisted the first goal and actually gets the third goal. So, they looked better in the second half. Now, with speaking of Eden Hazard, I think that's the thing. Eden Hazard can possibly be that false nine, that backup number nine. If he continues to show that growth, and if we can see him play like he played today, then I think we'll be okay. We'll be safe. I won't say it's ideal. Obviously, I agree with all of you that this should have been addressed. It was one of the glaring problems that Real Madrid had. We should have a backup number nine that isn't named Mariano, because Mariano doesn't bring anything to the table really at all. in my opinion, you know, so essentially, and then the one guy that you kind of did have that I think could bring something, which was Mayoral, you know, you loan him out. So essentially it was kind of like there was no forethought of what could possibly happen now. But at the end of the day, I think one of the things, the arguments was, you know, we're going into this season with a worse team. I don't think that at all. I think we're going in with a better defense and a better midfield than we even had last season. And the defense is where we were lacking. And I think we're coming in and we're more solid there than we were last season. Obviously, Dani Carvajal has to stay, who was one of the best players on the pitch today in the game against Celtic. He has to stay healthy, which is a very, very, you know, tall order, because the likes of Lucas Vazquez haven't shown that they can stay healthy. I'm sorry, that they can deputize that position when Carvajal is out. But we have other guys there, you know. Rudiger has been sort of like a jack of all trades in that sense, being able to play. He's played the left back position. He's played the right back position. He's played a center back position. So we'll see what happens, because I think what the reason Ancelotti feels that he can use him there is because essentially, since Rudiger was playing as a back three, you know, then you know, and he's quick, you know, and so far, you know, I've liked what I've seen from him. I think the guy is an absolute madman, and I think he can help us in that. But is he obviously a right back? No. Is he going to have the quality of Dani Carvajal? No, not at all. But is he going to be gritty and strong and try to take, you know, and be defensive? Yes. But is he going to help us in the attacking third? No. So is he going to have give us the defensive stability, but then also the attacking stability? No. But that's probably that's the same thing we suffer when we have Mendy, you know, who's not a huge help at all when it comes to attacking, and is really just more solid defensively. So, you know, in the end of the day, I said overall, I really do believe that this is a better team now than we saw last season. The problem is, of course, you have one position that's really, really, really hanging by a thread, and that is the number nine position. What happens if Benzema is not there? If Benzema is not there, you have to put in somebody like Rodrigo as a number nine, who Rodrigo obviously has proved that he is a solid player. So let's not shit on the things that Rodrigo was able to do last season. I think he's really growing into a phenomenal player. And I think the player that I always has thought he was, which I feel like he is a better, well, now not so much better than Vinicius, but I think he can be just as good as a finisher as Vinicius. He has beautiful. I mean, he knows how to, like, when he crosses the ball, he does very well. He set up plays, you know, and he is a player that comes in and in the clutch scores goals. So I think Rodrigo is a great option there. And then, like, once again, you know, and I hope it's something that doesn't come back and bite us. You know, is can a player like Eden Hazard, you know, make a difference? And I really think he can, you know, I really think he can. I hope he can. I hope he continues to play like he did today. I really think this game that he played today, you know, really is, I think, a burst of confidence. It helps him, obviously, getting the goal, helps him getting the assist, helps him. The team really, seemingly, it seems like the team, like, you know, is totally, you know, on board with him, are pushing him. You know, even Toni Kroos saying after the game that it's never been a question of quality for him. It's been a question of fitness. It's been a question, I think, of different, you know, other things surrounding him, injuries, all this kind of stuff. Maybe mentally he just wasn't ready there yet. But the question of quality, you know, was never a question. And I think that's what we're beginning to see. I really do think that Eden Hazard can bring something to the team. Now, it's a question of what. I don't think, obviously, I don't want people to, you know, bash me and say, you know, do you really, you know, I don't believe it's going to be the Eden Hazard of old. It's not going to be the Eden Hazard of Chelsea. It's not going to be the Eden Hazard of old. I really think it's going to be a much more subdued Eden Hazard. But I think if he gets going and gets his confidence back with the way he can dribble, with the way he can, you know, make penetrating runs, essentially. I really feel like he can. Is he going to have the same speed that he had before? No. But I really feel like he does offer something there once he gets, because what we were seeing with Eden Hazard is he didn't have, it seemed like he had lost the, like I always say, the word gun shy, you know, not gun shy in the sense that he wouldn't take a shot on goal, but gun shy in the sense that he was worried about going for the dribble, you know, going and taking on players, probably because he's, you know, been injured in the past that way. You know, he's worried about his ankle. He was worried about his ankle. Those kind of things, I think, were causing him a problem mentally. And those things would hold him back in his, you know, in his footballing ability, but from a mental perspective, not because he didn't have the quality to do it. So hopefully we can see that. But this whole idea that we have a worse team than last season, I don't believe that. I do believe we have the same desire, the same passion. I think we have better chemistry. We have more experience, especially these young kids that actually won it last season, these newer players that ended up winning it last season, and sort of shaking the cobwebs off there experience-wise. I really think that going into this season, that is going to help. The problem is, just like all of you, I do believe that there is an issue on our right wing, because aside from Rodrigo, unless Eden Hazard like all of a sudden blows up, I don't think Asensio is going to bring anything new to the table. Hopefully he does. Let me be wrong. I mean, in the past, I used to love this guy. I think a lot of us did. We thought he was the next big thing, but he hasn't been able to duplicate that. What we saw when he first started with Real Madrid. And so really without Rodrigo, you do lack that. And then you have Valverde that you can put in that position. And I think he can manage that position, but he is much more, obviously a huge asset when you put him in the midfield, especially considering if you have a midfield like, you know, with Valverde, Camavinga, and Tchouaméni. But the thing is, I think one of the issues right now with Valverde is it's kind of like Valverde is cycling between Rodrigo and the midfield if Modric isn't playing. Because I think what it is if Modric is playing like this at 36 years old, you know that this isn't going to last forever. And essentially, you kind of got to, it kind of sucks that you got to say that, but you got to get as much out of him and help make it. I mean, if he's playing and he's being, and he's really helping out and doing great things, Modric in this case, then I wouldn't sit him down, you know, especially, I mean, I would conserve his minutes, but you're not going to, you know, sit him down when he's absolutely the creative magician that he has been, you know, and just lose that. You know, Luka Modric is a huge asset to this team right now. He's kind of like another Benzema that without him, the team suffers a bit. The only thing is, obviously, he's got quite a few people that can back him up. Something that Benzema does not have. So I don't agree with Madridistas that say we're a worse off team. I do agree with the idea that we should have signed somebody new, at least for those to strengthen and to have more squad depth in the attack, because that's where we lack squad depth. But I think this team, as they have shown us already before, has the grit, has the ability, and now has the experience. I think now they have more backup in the defense. They have more backup in the midfield to really take this further. And we don't know, like, if we can extend this out into the January window, hopefully in January, we do bring somebody. Could be that, you know, Florentino is conserving, you know, biding his time because of the fact that it's a crazy, crazy season this year with the World Cup. So who knows what is going to happen with that? Obviously, I don't want to get ahead of myself or any of us to get excited, because at the same time, we've gotten excited in transfer windows before with Real Madrid and nothing really happens. We do get good players. I mean, we can't say that we don't get players. We've gotten the likes of Camavinga. We've gotten the likes of Tchouaméni. We've gotten the likes of Rudiger. But it's just that one, you know, eye-popping, I think, you know, really show-stopping player. We have not been able to get him. We put all our eggs in the basket for Mbappé. And I really think where we lost out there was not bringing in somebody like Haaland, who obviously at this point, I feel, I mean, I don't even like Manchester City. I despise that team. But I watch Man City now because I just want to see Haaland succeed. I want to see how much this guy, how many goals this guy can bang in. And considering Mbappe is probably the other guy on this spectrum of who, you know, who's one of the top players in the world right now, but the fact that he played Real Madrid the way he did it, I'd much rather go for Haaland. And I think Haaland would be a beast in La Liga, considering his, you know, the way he can muscle defenders, the way he can, you know, the way he can score, and the, you know, the service that he would get on our team, just the way he's getting it at Man City. I think we'd be able to provide him that. And with the teams that we have, with the teams that he would have to face in La Liga, I really feel like, you know, defense-wise, he would be a nightmare for a lot of defenders in La Liga. If he's doing it already in the Premier League, he'll do it in La Liga as well, and he'll be a nightmare for Real Madrid as well, with Real Madrid. So that's the one player I hope one day comes to the team, you know, now more than ever. You know, I really, you know, as much as people say, you know, will you forgive Mbappe? You know, in a few years, everyone will forget. I don't know, man. I mean, at least not for me. You know, not for me. I mean, if he's a great player, I'd love to bring him, but I think he's going to take a long time for him to really win people back. And that's if they even let him, you know, even if they let him back in the game. Sorry, Real Madrid's board or whatever is going to do that. I think they would probably go to Haaland first, and I think that's the plan. And I would love for that to happen down the line, if it does happen. You know, you never know sometimes what sort of diamond in the rough we haven't seen is going to show up in the next couple of years. You know, I think that probably right now what we need is a backup for Benzema. And I really do. Once again, I don't know why it's in my head. It's stuck in my head. But I like Raul de Tomas. I really like him as a player. I think he had a great season last season with Espanyol. And when it comes to being a deputizing or being a backup to a player like Benzema, I really think he does offer something there. I really feel like he would be a good backup, somebody that's willing to do it. You know, that's my thoughts. So like I said, I was going to keep this one short because it's been a while since I've been back, and I really wanted to do one after the Champions League game, kind of tell you guys what was going on. And, you know, I'm back for this one. We're going to bring, you know, I'm going to try to bring in Trombach and Hilal back soon on the podcast so we can do sort of a review of everything that we've been doing. And that's about it. I think for now, that's really all I have to say. Remember, you guys, to, you know, subscribe at Inada Mas Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. It's at YNM Podcast. So remember to do that on social media. And, you know, the other thing as well is, you know, you also want to remember to do subscribe to us on YouTube. Subscribe to the Inada Mas Podcast on YouTube. Because that's where you can see the video version of the podcast, and also subscribe to us on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, wherever your podcasts are found. So if you're not listening to us right now, and you're watching the YouTube, you can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, everywhere your favorite podcasts are found. And if you are listening to us and want to see the video version, check us out on, of course, on YouTube. Okay. So thank you very much for listening, guys. I will talk to you again soon this weekend, after the game against Mallorca. I will record that podcast, and we're going to keep this going. So thank you very much for listening again. And we are back, for this, you know, 2022-2023 season. Thank you very much for listening. Talk to you again soon.
This has been Y Nada Más, al Real Madrid Podcast.